We insure our phones. Most of us forget to insure the thing that pays for everything else. This article is a clear, honest look at protection cover, what it is, why most people do not have it, and how to decide whether you should. Written by Nick Ahern, Hawkdom Co's protection specialist. A pattern most of us share. Most of us have phone insurance, a significant number of us have pet insurance, a large proportion of us have travel insurance, often ticked without much thought during the booking process. And most of us have quietly and entirely understandably left the income that funds the mortgage, the rent, the food, the school run, and everything else completely unprotected. This is not a criticism, it is an observation, and the reason it is worth examining is not because something terrible is about to happen, but because understanding why we do it is almost always the thing that changes it. This article is not designed to alarm you, it is designed to help you think clearly about one of the areas of personal finance that gets talked about least and matters most. Whether you decide to take action at the end of it or not, you will at least know exactly where you stand and why. Why we avoid this conversation. The question is worth asking directly. Why do most people insure their phone within days of buying it and spend years meaning to look at income protection? The answer is not laziness and it is not ignorance. It is something considerably more human than either of those things. We insure what feels likely to go wrong. Phone screens crack, dogs eat things they should not, luggage gets lost. These things feel plausible because we have seen them happen, or they have happened to us before. Serious illness and long-term incapacity feel remote, even when the data would suggest otherwise. This is a well-documented feature of how the human brain processes risk. We weight familiar risks heavily and unfamiliar ones lightly, regardless of their actual probability. We unconsciously assume it will not happen to us. There is a cognitive bias, well evidenced in behavioral psychology, called optimism bias. Most people consistently underestimate their own likelihood of experiencing illness, accident, or early death, while accurately assessing the risk for others. It is not denial exactly. It is the normal baseline of a functioning human mind. The problem is that it does not interact well with financial planning. Confronting this conversation means confronting something uncomfortable. Buying life insurance means sitting, however briefly, with the thought that you will die and that someone will have to manage without you. Thinking about income protection means acknowledging that serious illness is something that could happen to you, not just to other people. These are not easy thoughts. The instinct is to close the browser and come back to it later. That instinct is entirely understandable, but later has a way of never arriving. Nothing forces the moment. Pet insurance is offered when you register at a vet. Phone insurance is presented at the point of purchase. Travel insurance is part of the booking flow. Life insurance and income protection have no equivalent trigger. There is no checkout screen, no prompt, no natural moment that makes it feel urgent. It sits on the list, permanently and reasonably, beneath everything else that requires immediate attention. The complexity feels disproportionate. Phone insurance has one question, yes or no. Protection cover involves decisions about how much, for how long, for what kind of event, in what structure. That complexity is real, even if a specialist can navigate it with you in 15 minutes. For most people, the prospect of making a series of decisions they do not fully understand is enough to make the whole thing feel like something to return to. None of this is a character flaw. All of it is a normal human response to a category of decision that is genuinely uncomfortable and structurally easy to defer. Recognizing it for what it is, however, is the first step to deciding whether deferring it still makes sense. What protection cover actually is. Protection cover is a category of insurance designed to ensure that your financial commitments can continue to be met if something significant happens to your health, your ability to work, or your life. There are four main types. They each serve a different purpose, and most people do not need all four. Life insurance pays a lump sum to the people who depended on your income if you died during the policy term. The money can be used to clear a mortgage, provide an income replacement, or simply ensure that the people you care about are not immediately facing financial difficulty at an already difficult time. It is typically the most straightforward of the four, and, for most people, the natural starting point. Income protection replaces a proportion of your income, usually between 50% and 70%, if you are unable to work due to illness or injury. It continues to pay out for as long as you remain unable to work, up to a specified limit, which in some policies extends to retirement age. This is the policy that most consistently surprises people, not in what it costs, but in how significant the gap it addresses actually is when they look at it clearly. Critical illness cover pays a tax-free lump sum on the diagnosis of a specified serious condition. Cancer, heart attack, and stroke are among the most common triggers, though the covered conditions vary by policy and provider. Unlike income protection, the payment is made on diagnosis rather than on the basis of whether you can work. The money is yours to use as you need it, to cover treatment costs, adapt your home, reduce debt, or simply create breathing room during a difficult period. Private medical insurance provides access to private diagnosis and treatment without NHS waiting times. It is particularly relevant for conditions where speed of access to a specialist or treatment would meaningfully affect the outcome, or where the ability to continue working depends on prompt intervention. It is the most variable of the four in terms of what it covers and what it costs, and the appropriate structure depends considerably on individual circumstances. When it matters most, protection cover is not universally necessary in equal measure for everyone, but there are situations where the absence of it represents a genuine and significant financial exposure. If you have a mortgage in your name, and particularly if servicing it depends on your income rather than a partner's, an extended period without that income has direct and concrete consequences. Mortgage lenders do not make exceptions for illness. If you are self-employed, the gap is not just significant, it is total. Statutory sick pay does not apply to the self-employed. The £123.25 per week that represents an employee's minimum safety net is simply not available to you. There is no employer sick pay, no group life cover, no death in service benefit, and no income protection through a workplace scheme. For sole traders and freelancers in particular, the position is direct. If you stop working, the income stops immediately and in full. There is also a practical detail that is often overlooked. Income protection policies are typically calculated as a proportion of pre-tax income. If your accountant has structured your income to be tax efficient, the declared figure may be lower than what you actually need to live on, which affects the sum you can insure. It is worth discussing the structure of your income at the outset of any protection conversation, before a policy is arranged rather than after. If you have financial dependents, including children, a partner whose income alone would not cover all commitments, or anyone else who relies on what you earn, the question of what happens if you cannot work is not a hypothetical one. If your savings, while present, would not realistically sustain your current level of commitments for more than a few months, you are carrying a vulnerability that may not have been looked at clearly. If you work in a role where your physical health is directly tied to your ability to earn, whether in a trade, a physically demanding profession, or a client-facing role where prolonged absence has career implications, the financial risk of incapacity is higher than average, when it may not be the priority. This is the section that most articles on this subject leave out, because acknowledging it does not serve the purpose of selling a product. It is included here because advice that is not honest about its limits is not advice worth taking. There are situations where some forms of protection cover are genuinely lower priority, or where existing provision already addresses the risk adequately. If your employer provides substantial sick pay, covering 12 months or more at full or near full salary, the gap that income protection would address is considerably smaller and may not justify the cost. If you have significant liquid savings, sufficient to sustain your commitments for an extended period without income, you may already have a meaningful buffer. Protection cover is most valuable when the margin for error is thin. If you have no mortgage, no dependents, and a strong financial position, some of the most common forms of life insurance and income protection are less immediately relevant to your situation. What a proper conversation about protection should produce is not automatically a policy. It should produce an honest picture of where your risks actually are, which of those risks are worth addressing, which products would address them proportionately, and which ones you can reasonably deprioritize. Doing less, but doing it properly, is often the most sensible outcome. the cost reality. One of the most consistent things that comes up in a first conversation about protection is the assumption that it will be expensive. It is almost always wrong. The cost of protection cover depends on age, health, occupation, the level of cover, and the policy structure. For a healthy person in their 30s or early 40s, monthly premiums for a meaningful level of cover are frequently comparable to a gym membership or a streaming subscription. The specific figure depends on individual circumstances and requires a proper conversation to assess accurately. But the perception that this is unaffordable, which is the reason most people give for not looking at it, is not matched by the reality for the majority of people who go through the process. What changes the cost significantly is age and health. Cover arranged later or after a health event has occurred may cost considerably more, or in some cases be harder to arrange on preferred terms. That is not a reason to panic. It is simply worth knowing. What the state safety net actually looks like. When asked why they have not arranged income protection, a common answer is some version of, the state will cover it, or my employer will sort it out. It is worth knowing what those safety nets actually look like in practice. Statutory sick pay, as at April 2026, is £123.25 per week. That is the legal minimum your employer is required to pay if you are unable to work due to illness, assuming you qualify for it. For most people with a mortgage, household bills, and normal living costs, that figure represents a significant and immediate shortfall. Some employers provide sick pay considerably above the statutory minimum, others do not, or do so only for a limited period. It is worth checking your own employment terms clearly rather than assuming. According to Aviva's 2025 Claims and Wellbeing Report, the average income protection claim lasts 6 years and 9 months. That is not a brief illness or a short recovery period. That is a significant and sustained period during which income would need to come from somewhere. A conversation worth having. Nick Ahern is Houghton Co's protection specialist. He has been working in protection for over 10 years, and the conversations he has with clients are rarely the ones people expected. The first conversation is almost never about products. It is about the picture, what your income is, what your commitments are, what you already have in place through your employer or existing policies, and where, if anywhere, there is a gap worth addressing. Sometimes the picture is reassuring, sometimes it surfaces something that has been quietly sitting unexamined for years. Either way, most people leave the conversation with a clearer view of where they stand than they had before it. Nick's approach is not to find a reason to sell you something. It is to help you understand your situation accurately and to recommend cover that is proportionate to the risks that actually exist in your life, not to an imagined worst case. Most initial conversations take just 15 to 20 minutes. Thank you for listening.